episode of From Sunday to Sabbath. My name's Mike Scann, and I'm the senior pastor of Epic Life Church. We were once a Sunday church, but now we switch over to the Sabbath, and now we do everything Torah. And this podcast is about helping everyone live out the life they were created to live. Now, I can't do this by myself. I need to have none other than Tyler Utko.
Shalom, everybody.
That's it.
How you doing?
He's new, guys.
I'm new. I don't know what to do.
He doesn't want. So we got a really good podcast today. We were just talking about kind of where we wanted to go and what we wanted to talk about. And I think this is going to be a good one. The last 3 weeks we have been talking about the Holy Spirit.
Yep.
And I've heard a lot of good things about it. We're going to go backwards, really. Like, we kind of talked about the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit should work in the life of a believer, whether you're Torah or not. Like, you need the Holy Ghost,
Absolutely.
Right? We need the Holy Spirit to live out the life we were created to live. Mm-hmm. But I want to talk about, you called me, you were texting me and like, hey, what do you want to talk about? And it just came to me. I was like, I want to talk about salvation. Like, I think in...
Before getting to the Holy Spirit,
right. It's not the opposite way. Yeah. So we want to talk about the Holy Spirit and... Or not the Holy Spirit, but we want to talk about what salvation is. Let's talk about the sinner's prayer. Let's talk about some things that maybe some misunderstandings of where certain things came from and what the Bible actually says. But before we get there, if you are new to our page, or even if you're not new and you haven't done it yet, would you please subscribe to this page, like it, share it, press the little bell icon, let us know, leave a comment, and like, let us know what you'd like us to talk about. And if you do have a question or want to contact us, you can contact either me or Tyler, and you can contact him at tyler@epiclifetarot.com, or you can contact me at pastormike@epiclifetarot.com. They should be running across the screen here. But yes, like it, subscribe it. I know many of you are watching it on YouTube. Many of you, and we're seeing a lot more people hearing it. They're just listening to through the podcast. So however you're listening, we thank you for it. Please share it, get the word out so that we can continue to do everything that we're doing. Anyhow, let's get back to the subject. Subject matter at hand is salvation. So there is a lot of misunderstanding of salvation. Let's talk about the misunderstandings first.
Okay.
What do you think?
Let's do it.
What is salvation not?
It's not doing whatever you want to do, really. It's not acting like you, when you speak the language of the Bible, but you just do whatever you want to do anyway, right? It kind of goes into, you know the lingo, you say the words, you even go to church. But when you haven't had that heart transformation, you don't really have it.
But don't you think that's confusing?
It can.
So, I think some people say, well, my heart's been, like, we've been talking about this on Sabbath, right?
Yeah.
That the heart is the most deceptive thing in this world. Like, there's nothing else on this earth that is deceptive. Can someone be deceived even when it comes to salvation?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you can think that you're in right standing with God. I mean, Matthew 7, many will come to me on that day and say, Lord, Lord, like, don't you know me? I did all these things, man. I like serve you in the church, blah, blah, blah. And he said, I never knew you. We didn't have that real relationship.
Right.
You know?
Right. What I think that's, so before we go into talking about what that real relationship looks like, I think we need to, and I know for some of you that are listening today that this may be really elementary because, and for some of you, it may hopefully be a revelation, right?
Yeah.
And that is, what is salvation? Right. So we know that in the Hebrew, there's a thing that's called the law of first.
The law of first mention.
And the law of first mention. And we find salvation. I'm going to go to my Bible here, and we are going to find it. And we find it in, where is it at? Where'd it go?
Genesis 49?
I think it's Genesis 49.
Yeah, 49:18.
Genesis 49:18 is the law of first mention. And if you don't understand that, it's like, there is an importance when you first see a word show up, it really kind of sets the stage of what that word is going to mean throughout scripture.
Yeah, how it's used. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So we find it in Genesis chapter 49, verse 18. I'm reading out of the TLV version, the Tree of Life version. And it says, for your salvation, I wait Yahweh or Adonai. Now, the word salvation, if you guys are wondering, it is an interesting word, isn't it? Because this is all the way. Yeah. You know, people go, I want to see Jesus in the Old Testament. Okay, if you want to see Jesus in the Old Testament, I'm about to reveal to you this major word, right? And it is the word
Yeshua.
Yeshua. So salvation in Genesis, in the Old Testament or the Tanakh, is the word Yeshua.
Yeah.
Yeshua, meaning salvation. I'm going to pull the word up here because I want to look at it.
Right, yeah.
A lot of good stuff. Go ahead.
Yeah, so, you know, when you, as you're pulling the word up, I think the primary root, now I'm not an expert in Hebrew, but I've looked at it quite a few times about the primary root is Yeshah.
Yeshah.
So when you like go into, that just is the word like save, help, aid, deliverance, things like that, safety.
Right.
But whenever it turns into Yeshua, it becomes a, he will save, you know?
Yes.
Like he will deliver. And so whenever, I mean, just thinking like whenever you really are calling upon Yahweh to save you and deliver you, and whenever you think that word, he will save, he will save me out of this situation, you're saying Yeshua, you know?
Yeah.
And so, like, when you're calling upon the name of Yeshua, you're calling upon he who will save you.
He who will save you, who will deliver you, right? So I'm looking in, for those of you who want to check me, you can check me in the Dictionary of Biblical Languages with Semitic Domains, Hebrew, Old Testament.
That's a good one.
This is so, like, you can't make this stuff up, brother. Like, I'm looking at this word, and it's the act of conquering another entity.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Shut your face, man. That is awesome, right?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Like, what entity got conquered, man?
Right,
we're talking
about
Hasatan, Satan.
Right, sin, yeah.
He is defeated. He is sin has been defeated, right?
That's right.
And
man.
So it gives a couple of verses. But it says, to be in a state of freedom from danger.
Ooh, that's a good
right? So we can look at that like a danger of, what's the danger? The danger is either bondage, right? Because we're not saved, or death.
Right.
We were delivered from death, right?
Yeah. There's so many dangers to be saved from. Like, man, you can just look into a circumstantial danger. Like, you know, you have a danger of losing your life, losing your health, losing your house, or just whatever.
Yeah.
And then you have a danger of, like, getting into bondage spiritually. Like,
you're
in addictions and all that. Man, you need to be saved out of that,
Amen.
You know?
Yeah, so we have, this is the definition for salvation. For those of you, when people go, are you saved? They're literally asking you, have you been delivered?
Right.
And if you wanted to paraphrase it, you could say, have you been delivered? Have you been rescued? Are you in a state of freedom from danger, death? Mm-hmm. Are you deliverance in a religious sense, right? Are you victorious, right? Mm-hmm. Have you been delivered? Has the enemy been conquered on your behalf?
Mm,
right?
Yeah.
This is what Yeshua, our Savior, did.
Mm, that's right.
Right?
Yeah.
But the misunderstanding then goes into how. Mm. How does one get saved? So we were talking about it earlier. I'm still on you. Let me turn it on. There we go. We were talking earlier about a particular individual, because I know that there are people who are listening. Maybe you yourself. I know this was for me. I remember the first day that I got, I'm using quotation marks if you can't see me, quotation, when I got saved.
Yeah.
Now, I am going to preface. My first time getting saved, I really didn't get saved.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to talk about both of them. The first time, it was with my wife. My wife told me that she would never marry someone that wasn't a Christian. Now, I came out of kind of a very lost guy. I was very jacked up. I came from a very dysfunctional family. And we were Mormons. And so we went to a Mormon church, okay?
Yeah.
And so I didn't know anything about anything. And I was young when I went. And so we would, you know, my brothers and I, there were six of us, we would fight over the pew next to the wall because we wanted to see who got to go to sleep first, right? Because you got the wall, you could lean into the wall, right? Oh, yeah, it was great. But the thing is so I didn't understand any of this. So when Robin told me, like, hey, I'm not marrying anybody that's not a Christian, you gotta get saved.
Right.
I'm like, okay, where do I sign? Like, like, is there paperwork that needs to be done there? I mean, what do I need to do?
Yeah.
And so understanding religion, right? I went to church with her, and the teacher, the pastor, great guy.
Yeah.
He got up there and said, if you want to be saved today, raise your hand. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. She said I needed to be saved to get married. Oh, that's me. Okay. I've got to get saved. Right.
Right.
And then a gentleman came beside me, and we were all, you know, everybody bow your heads, close your eyes, please. And would you please repeat after me? Yeah. Right. And we do this, this prayer. Mm-hmm. And so for a long time, I believed I was a Christian. The problem was your statement that you made earlier. My life didn't look any different. My attitude didn't look any different.
No fruit.
Now, I quit going to the bars and honky-tonking, you know, and drinking and fighting and acting like an idiot. But those were just habits that I gave up because my wife said, we're not going to the bar on Thursday nights anymore.
Right. Yeah. Just get another habit.
Yeah. I just had to change, you know, change my habits and stuff.
Yeah.
So there was that salvation. Then there was a time in my extended vacation hosted by the state of Texas where, man, I came to a place in my life. It was July. It was hot as ever, man, about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And I remember the boss came in to give me a letter because he had forgotten to get me a letter. It was really late and it woke me up. And I read this thing, and it was by someone who knew me, and it just convicted me, man. I mean, it brought me into a place of just, like, regret of the things, my life choices, right? And it was at that moment, man, I cried out to Yahweh. And, of course, I didn't know him as Yahweh, but I knew him as the Lord.
Yeah.
And literally, I didn't do no magic prayer, brother. What I said, I just said, I'm done.
Yeah.
I can't do this anymore. And I just relinquished control. And I said, man, I'm giving you whatever you want. I'm done. I'm done trying to do this. I can't live this way on my own. And I called out to him. And I knew instantaneously, brother, my life was different. Everything. Yeah, sure. Like, I woke up the next morning and the smells in that place were different. The colors were brighter. Everything was so different. Man, if you know what I'm talking about, leave a comment. Absolutely, it was absolutely mind-blowing, man, how my life was just completely night versus day, right?
Yeah. And it came from, I like what you said, like when you read that letter, you felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Right? Because that's what Yeshua said. When he comes, the Holy Spirit comes, he will convict the world of sin.
Yeah.
And that's like the first step.
Yeah, I was convicted, right? Man. I was convicted of everything that I had done in my life, bro.
Yeah. I mean, isn't that like the first step? Like, if you're not, you don't feel that godly sorrow, you know, if that's not the, if the godly sorrow isn't leading you.
But see, I love that you say that, because here's what we see in the body of Christ, right? We see a imitation of a godly sorrow.
Right.
So we'll sing, and I always make fun of it, because we'll sing Reckless Love and then do an invitation, right? Yeah. And everybody's like all emotional on the song, the goosebumps, and I've heard it so many times, man, I felt the Lord, you know. And you know, I cried and I was weeping, and like, that's good if it's true repentance.
Yeah.
Right. But emotionalism isn't necessarily drawing you into repentance. Right. There needs to be a conviction of the lawlessness. First John, was it 2:6? It says that sin is law. Yeah. It's 3, breaking 4. God's law. 3:4. Thank you. It's breaking God's law.
Right.
And we have to come to that understanding. And the penalty for breaking that law.
Yeah.
Is death. Only one thing, bro.
Yeah, it's death.
Death. It's separation, eternal separation away from our Creator.
That's right.
And that's what we need to get to. So what happens is we've developed this way of trying to win souls, right?
Yeah.
And we've got this false ideology out there that says all you need to do, right? Tyler, all you need to do to become a Christian, forget the conviction. Forget the repentance. All you need to do is say this prayer,
right,
and you're going to be saved.
Yeah.
Because the Bible says out of your mouth, right? Right? It says that salvation comes by confession, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Call upon the name of the Lord and you'll be saved.
Yeah. Call on him and you'll be saved, you know? And so what we do is we convince these people, like, okay, all you got to do is say this prayer. So my little brain, all right, goes, okay, where is that? But I kept asking you, you know,
yeah, where is this?
Where is this prayer at in the Bible?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
show me the sinner's prayer in the Bible, brother.
Right. It's First Mike.
No, don't put my name in it. First Tyler.
First Billy or whatever his name was.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to talk about it. So don't spoil it.
No, I was, you know, yes. When you call upon the name of the Lord and truly out of conviction and sorrow for sin, and, you know, he will save you. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about this formula of repeat after me.
Yes.
Like, say this magical prayer. I remember when I was in a rehab one time.
We're just some jacked up guys.
I'm sorry.
If y'all don't know this, look, we are a bunch of, let me look at the camera. We're jacked up. Okay. We were very jacked up. Thank you so much for the grace and the mercy
of
Yahweh and his forgiveness. And we're joking about it, but we've lived our life and we understand how just jacked up we were. And so please forgive my drug addict, my recovered, my free brother.
I'm all my stories. I have to, it's funny. Like when I met my wife, I met Taylor, I had to apologize to her because, like, all of my stories of, like, experiences with the Lord, and or not all of them, but most of them, and just all of these things are like, yeah, when I was in jail or when I was in rehab, you know, sorry.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But, yeah. Continuing on.
Yeah, so I was at this place, and I was really trying to get back into a right relationship with the Lord and everything.
Right.
And there was this guy. And I tried to lead him in the sinner's prayer, and it was just kind of like he was ready to be done with drinking and drugs and all that. And I was like, well, man, you know, just say this prayer.
Yeah.
And your life will get better. You'll be free.
What a lie.
It was.
You lied to him.
I did. I when I think about it, I'm like, man, I hope he found the right.
Now there could be a chance that, you know, they sincerely really did it, and and you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But I'm going to tell you, man. When I first did that prayer, nothing changed, right. And I was fooled to believe to think that's what it wasn't till, man, I was humbled, and I felt the conviction of Yahweh, and he was hammering me, and he's like, "Be careful lest your sin finds you out."
Yeah.
And my sin found me out. And I had to deal with that. So I want to talk about this real quick, because where does that come from? And so what many of you may not know is where the sinner prayer came from,
right,
and how the altar call that we started giving, this altar call type familiar. And we got away from the Word of God.
Yeah.
We got away from the Torah and just dealing with what the Torah says. You know, this is what Abraham was counted as righteousness because he trusted Yahweh. Mm-hmm. So our life and everything about it has to be about trusting him.
That's right.
And when we're doing this prayer, somehow I think that's not about trusting the Father. I think it's more about trusting in the prayer. So it's so I looked it up. You guys can Google this on your own. I'm not the computer genius guy here, but here it is. The practice of, I'm reading out of prayers.org. Prayers, it's a simple salvation prayer. The practice of the sinner's prayer in particular is often traced to the evangelistic campaigns of Billy Sunday. Billy Sunday was like a modern day TV evangelist, you know. He had some showmanship.
Yeah.
He had the big tent revivals, right? Mm-hmm. And it was during that time they wanted to see who could get the most people to the tents, right?
Oh, wow.
Now today it's like who can get you many people can get into your mega church, right?
Right.
But this is early 20th century, before Billy Graham. Mm-hmm. So Billy Graham kind of adopted some of the stuff that he did. And there's no dig on Billy, you know. What's up with that?
Oh, wow, that's true. Billy.
But you've got this guy, Billy Sunday, who was a former baseball player, and then he would use the phrase "receiving Christ into your heart" that became formalized as a prayer of conversion for non-Christians during the missionary movements of the 19th century. So he kind of perfected. So it used to be they say that when he first started, it was just a hand raising, like just raise your hand if you want to receive Jesus Christ into your heart today. It's exactly what he craved. Mm-hmm. And then it went from there to making the altar call, like come out of your seats.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's bigger.
Show everyone.
It made it bigger because all these people would kind of come to the front and like, oh, my gosh, look at this guy. Right.
Yeah.
And so But the problem with it is, and I get it, I know what they were trying to do, but what's happened now and what we see now is there's a lot of false conversions. Would you agree or disagree?
I totally would agree. It becomes a, like, almost like this sort of magical, like, repeat after me, like, right, abracadabra type stuff, right, you know, like, whoosh, like, you say this prayer, then I'll popishly declare you saved.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's not, it gives people a false sense of security because, you know, when that little high from that crusade or that, like, little deal that they went to kind of wears off after a couple of weeks.
Right.
And they go back into their former lifestyle, you know, it kind of numbs their conscience. They're like, man, it's cool. I'm saved. You know?
Yeah.
Said the sinner's prayer. I'm good. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. Notice what Psalms 119, 174 says. Right. So you want to know what salvation is? Watch this. I long for your deliverance. This is, yeah, the word salvation. Mm-hmm. It says, I long for your deliverance, Yahweh, and your Torah is my delight.
Wow.
So, yeah, if my life has been changed and converted, right, mm-hmm, and I'm giving my life back to the Lord,
yeah,
then instantly it's like, I want to know your law. I want to know, yeah, your instructions. I want to know your teachings. That's what I long for. Now, how do I live this way?
Right.
Right. Instead of like, okay, hey, go about your way, go and sin no more. And that's kind of the mentality that we've developed where we're not, obviously that goes into discipleship and some other things.
Yeah.
But we need to get back to the basics. And the basics are understanding how important it is that we understand what salvation is. Right.
True.
And how salvation plays a key role. So let's look at, yeah, scripture. Let's go. What do you got?
Well, let me go to this Romans 11. It's in Romans 11:26. Right. It kind of talks about, you know, the Gentiles coming into the faith and,
right,
you know, that type of thing. So starting in 25, it says, lest you be wise in your own sight. Let me go to the TLB.
Yeah.
Good idea. For I do not want you, brothers and sisters, to be ignorant of this mystery, lest you be wise in your own eyes, that a partial hardening has come upon Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And in this way, all Israel shall be saved. For it is written, the deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness,
wow,
from Jacob. Right? So the deliverer, the one who saves, will turn away ungodliness from you. Right? And so a part of, you know, salvation is like, it's turning away ungodliness. It's turning away wickedness. Matter of fact, it reminds me of that verse in Acts where it says, I think it's Peter preaching where he said that the Lord sent Yeshua to bless you by turning you away from your iniquities.
Yes.
You know? And so
that's salvation.
That is.
That's how we're saved. I mean, even the next verse tells you, right? It says, mm-hmm, the deliverer shall come out of Zion. He shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. And this is my covenant with them when I take, yeah, away their sin.
Yes. Yes.
So salvation is that we are delivered from our sins.
Yes.
Which, are we delivered from the sin or the punishment of sin or both?
I would say both. I mean, not necessarily a temporal punishment.
Right.
Like, 'cause, you know, like, there will be consequences of, sorry, like, you can't just totally escape. Like, you do something really, you kill somebody and you're like, oh, Lord, forgive me. And it's like, okay, I'll forgive you. You don't have to, don't worry about it.
Yeah. You still, you may know, go to prison.
Yeah. You'll go to prison.
Yeah.
but you will. But,
you know, I heard somebody say this one time. I don't know where I heard this from. It's an old saying. We may have to look it up just to find out where it came from. But it is, the sins of yesterday will splash on the shores of tomorrow,
ooh,
but for a season.
Wow.
So even though Yahweh delivers us out of our unrighteousness and out of our sin, there are consequences, yeah, in the earthly realm, right,
yeah, sure,
of our sin. So some, yeah, of you may have, this may be you right now, maybe you did a lot of bad, and you've come to the Lord, and you've repented, mm-hmm, and you're trusting in him as your salvation, your deliverer from death, mm-hmm, and now you're coming into life, but you're looking at your life, you're going, wait a minute, I'm still going through this stuff, man. It's like, I can't get, well, the sins of yesterday splash on the shores of tomorrow, but for a season,
yeah,
right? Mm-hmm. And so it just, you know, sin, man, sin causes bad stuff to happen,
yeah,
you know? And because of that, yeah, until you get through that, then, you know, I heard an old man say, it's like sin, like a little pebble, of sin, just a little sin, is like taking that pebble and throwing it into a pond in the middle of the pond that's very still.
Right.
It like
it ripples out.
It ripples out, and it will hit the entire pond eventually. You know, and you may not even see the ripples. Sometimes the ripples are very subtle or subtle. Yeah. You don't see them.
Right.
But our sin does that. That's why we need a deliverer. Mm-hmm. We're lawless people.
Yeah.
Right.
That's true.
We are. We're lawless people. And left to ourselves, left to our own flesh, we will choose sin every time.
Right. Yeah. And a part of that salvation is like, so the question you asked was like, will we be saved from, are we being saved from sin or the punishment of sin? Well, you know, the ultimate punishment of sin is the second death.
Come on.
Right? So,
yeah.
You know, at the very end.
So people out there may not understand that. So you're okay. saying the second.
Yeah. So. Right.
So what's the first?
So the first death is just dying naturally.
Natural death.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And there's something that the Bible talks about being the second death. And that's where Yahweh throws you, your soul into fire.
Yeah.
You know, into hell.
So let's talk about that for a second, right? Okay. We may be jumping down a rabbit hole.
Yeah, probably.
Like, there are people that believe that hell does not exist in the format in which we've been taught, right?
Yeah.
So that hell is this place like that God's going to send all the bad people and they're going to rot in hell, right? And that's where your soul is going to be for eternity, right? And so there is that belief.
Right.
Some believe that that's really taken out of more of Greek mythology and how this hell that we understand it is more Greek mythology.
Right.
I'm kind of in the middle.
Yeah, I mean, I was just talking to my wife about this the other day. I mean, I can see both sides. I can see kind of like both arguments. You know, there's some things that seem to say that it is that way, and some things that's like, well, are you annihilated, like in the hellfire? Do you like cease to exist?
Right.
Or do you stay there forever?
Exactly.
And man, honestly, like I don't know.
Right.
You know, because
we do know. Yeah. What we do know is that it is going to play. The Bible says it's a place that the worm will never die.
Right.
We do know that.
Yeah.
We don't know whether or not it's like, because number one, and I want y'all to hear this, hell was not created for humans.
Yes, created for the devil.
It was created for the enemy, right? Because of his choice to exalt himself above Yahweh and to cause rebellion, right? And cause a third of the angels to fall. Right with him,
right.
Yahweh created a place of torment for them.
Right.
And so a lot of people say, well, hell is going to be where Satan is and he's going to be ruling. No, 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 no. You don't understand.
Yeah.
Satan ain't ruling hell.
Yeah, he's not in there.
This is his. No, yeah. not. Yeah, he's not there now, but that's where he's going.
Right.
And that's a place for him and the tormentors. But there is and I think that's what's at stake. I think we need to say this, right? What is at stake with sin and you not receiving the deliverance of Yeshua?
Yeah.
And that is, like you just said earlier, is eternal death.
That's right.
It's the second death, is that you will not live eternally.
Right.
Not only that, but you will be eternally separated from your loved ones.
Yeah.
You'll be eternally separated from Yahweh.
Yeah.
The one who created you. Mm-hmm. That in of itself is torment.
Yeah. Like when Yeshua said, He said, don't fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul.
Come on, man.
So, Yeshua was like, man, look, don't worry about these people. You know, they threaten to take your life. And so what? Only fear the one who can not only kill the body, but kill the soul.
Kill the soul, man.
That goes into a whole nother level
of really
death.
Does.
You know, so, but yeah, ultimately, salvation is not coming into that second death where the Lord kills your soul.
Yeah.
Your body dying, everyone experiences that.
Yeah.
But the salvation that comes is your soul will not die. Like
that is so good, man.
Yeah.
And so that's where we want to get to be, where we stand before Messiah. Mm-hmm. And of course we want, now here's the other thing. There's another side to this judgment thing that we have to talk about. And I don't know that this is maybe, well, I mean, let's just say it, that it doesn't mean that we get a free pass.
Yeah.
Right. Because even as followers of Mashiach, right, there's a judgment.
Yeah.
Right. And I know that now it may not be a judgment that leads to the second death.
Right.
But it is it's a reward.
Yeah. The judgment seat of Christ.
The judgment seat of Christ.
Yeah.
Where we are going to stand and give an account for how we lived in Messiah. You know what I mean? And so there is that, and we got to think that and take that very seriously.
Yeah. And I think a lot of Christians don't take that seriously.
I agree.
Because they're like, well, I'm saved. Yep. I'm in. Okay. I'll stand before the judgment seat. At least I'll get in.
Yeah.
And so they live kind of like willy nilly. Who cares? Yeah. Like they're not intentional.
1 foot in, 1 foot out.
Yeah. But man, if you have that attitude, you better check yourself, because you might not have that relationship.
We're in agreement then, and I think we are, and for the listeners as well, that we are in agreement that salvation does not come by saying a magic prayer.
Yeah.
Salvation comes through repentance.
Yes.
Conviction, repentance.
Confession,
right?
Yeah.
So now this is going to take us into two words we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
And that is, so if we are saved, if you and I get, when a person gives their life to the Lord, and you're not giving it like you would in a magic prayer, what you're saying is you're surrendering your life
surrender
to Him.
Control.
Right. And so what that means is that Yeshua is now the leader of your life. You're no longer the boss. You're no longer in control. So you repent of your dead works. You repent of your lawlessness, your sin.
Yeah.
And now you choose to follow the way of Christ. That's salvation.
It is.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot more we can talk about when it comes to deliverance and the deliverance of the curse and all these things, right? We're not going to do that today. But what I wanted to say is that now that we're in here's what we need to understand. When it comes to salvation, there are two major elements that can be confusing. We've already mentioned one in a sense, and that is justification.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. So being justified literally means in the text, it means that we've been found not guilty.
That's right.
So despite I'm a sinner, despite that I did things that I wasn't supposed to do, Yeshua, my intercessor, my deliverer, takes on the penalty. So now I am found not guilty of the sins that I committed. Mm. What do you got?
Yeah, amen. I was just looking at Romans 3.
Come on.
Where starting in verse 25, I'm going to start in verse 25, where it says that God set forth Yeshua as an atonement. You know, and a lot of verses or a lot of versions say propitiation, like King James and like some verses, versions like that. But yeah, that word is just, it means an atonement, right?
Yeah.
Through faith in his blood, to show his righteousness in passing over sins already committed. And through God's forbearance, he demonstrates his righteousness at the present time, that he himself is just and also the justifier of the one who puts his trust, his faith in Yeshua. Where then is boasting? It is excluded by what principle of works? No, but by the principle of faith.
Yes.
For we consider a person to be set right or justified, right?
That's it.
Apart from Torah observance. So, you know, and then he goes into Abraham, like he makes the point of like, look, Abraham was made righteous, justified.
Declared
righteous.
That's right.
You know,
so let's look at that real quick for our listening audience, right? So the word justify that he's using here in the Roman passage is the word dikaio. And it literally means put right with, right? It means to be vindicated.
Right.
It means to be declared righteous. So though the person, the receiver of Yeshua's salvation may not look righteous because we haven't been fully transformed yet.
Yeah.
We are made righteous. That's the word justification. So
that's
when you repent, right, you get the conviction of the Holy Spirit. No man cometh unto the Father unless the Spirit of Yahweh draweth that person.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Then you're drawn by the Holy Spirit. You're convicted by the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. You repent of your sin because you realize, oh my goodness, I'm lawless. I'm breaking Yahweh's commandments. Mm-hmm. I need Jesus. I need a deliverer because the death sentence of breaking the law, which commandment of the Ten Commandments has a death sentence?
I would say all of them.
All of them. Absolutely. ultimately, they all have they all do.
Yeah.
So we all are faced with the death sentence. We need to be justified. We need to be found not guilty. Well, how do we do that? Not by our works.
Yeah. You can't earn it.
Can't earn it.
You know,
it's not earned.
Yeah.
So that means someone else had to die that was clean, that was pure. Mm-hmm. That's Yeshua.
That's it.
Right? Yeah. So now Yeshua comes. He dies in our place. We recognize that deliverer. Mm-hmm. Yeshua, even in his name, he is the deliverer. Amen. Right. And so now we recognize him, and we don't just recognize him. We say, you're worthy. I'm not. I'm dying to myself. I look to Jesus. He becomes my justifier.
Absolutely. And just like he told Nicodemus.
Yes.
He told Nicodemus, look, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up.
Yes.
That all who see, because like when you go back to that story.
Come on.
When you go back to that story, that the people complained that Yahweh sent snakes and they bit them, right?
Yeah.
And so he told Moses, make this bronze serpent.
It's a foreshadowing.
It's a foreshadowing. It's a type. Put it on this pole, and then he says, all who look upon it will be delivered.
Well, this is what it says, right? So finishing your passage, now hold your thought because I want to come right back to it. Okay. But what's it say? Verse 27 of Romans 3. Where then is boasting?
Right, yeah.
It's excluded.
Yeah.
By what principle? Of works? In other words, what you did, who you are?
Right.
No, but by the principle of faith.
Right.
For we consider a person to be set right apart. That's that justified. Mm-hmm. You could literally say, for we consider a person to be justified apart from Torah observance. Yeah. So it's not by work, right? So all they had to do in the wilderness is do what?
They looked upon the serpent. They believed in the means of deliverance Yahweh revealed to Moses. You know, Yahweh didn't tell them, like, you know, keep 10 Sabbaths, you know, do all these commandments first, and then I'll set you free.
Right.
No, it was looking upon the serpent. And that's what Yeshua said. All who look upon me, not just look at me, but all who look with faith.
Amen.
Realizing
Amen.
That I am the one who will take their sin. You've been bitten by the serpent. Right?
Yeah.
You have been injected with the poison of sin and with his destruction, with his lawlessness.
Yeah.
But when we look upon Yeshua, who was lifted up,
our deliverer,
it transforms. It takes our sin upon him. Mm. We are forgiven, made right with the Father, and then begins the process of, well, I don't know if we want to jump into it yet.
We're getting ready to. So let's do it.
Yeah.
So Yeshua is the justifier.
Yeah.
And I want you guys to understand this. Like, if you've given your life to the Lord, and meaning, again, the word giving your life, it's just a phrase literally meaning that you've surrendered yourself to him.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. It's not a magic prayer.
Yeah.
It's simply saying, I'm done. It's in your heart. You've made the decision that you're not God anymore.
Yeah.
That he's God, he's in control, he's ruler, you're following after him. Now, since we've been justified, here's the other confusing, right?
Yeah.
How now do we live? If we're going to say, okay, I'm justified in Christ, that would probably be a better expression. Like, instead of saying, are you saved?
Right.
What we should be asking each other is, are you justified in Christ?
Right.
Have you been justified? Yes, amen.
Yeah.
I am justified in Christ.
Right. Yeah, because, you know, that word saved, like, are you saved? That gives people this idea of, like, I have this status of saved and that there's nothing that I can do to, like, mess that up.
Right.
You know?
But you can.
Yeah. I mean, you can.
And that goes into the next word that we're going to talk about.
Right.
Which is
sanctification. Big fancy word. Sanctification basically just means it is a process of being set apart, being sanctified.
Okay,
you use the word holy.
Hang on, man, you're going way ahead of some of us. Like, you said set apart. What does that mean?
It's really the word holy. So in the Hebrew, it's kadosh, right? So you're
But aren't I instantly holy as soon as I give my life to the Lord?
Yes, I would say so. You're set apart from sin. You're forgiven. You're back under his favor.
Right.
Right. So I would say that you become set apart, but then begins the process of
how you live that out.
How you live that out. So then he begins to work in you all of the, like, this is how you live. This is how you keep my commands.
This is why when people begin to talk about how they don't believe in the Torah, this is the part where it gets really shady, right?
Yes,
because you're people who don't believe in the Torah, and I know we may get some emails by that, and that's great, but this is where you begin to set up your own righteousness. So how do you determine how you're sanctified, or what is sanctification?
Right.
Yahweh has already done it.
Yeah.
He's given us a way to live.
Right.
And yet in the modern day church today, people are creating their own way of being righteous, right? Or being holy, set apart, Kodesh.
Yeah.
Right. They're creating their own way of doing
their
this.
Own standard.
Their own standard.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, we've got people out there who believe that you've got to make sacrifices again, right? That's going to be sanctification. You're not really in yet.
Right.
It's the same lie. It's the same deception that was given in Paul's day.
Yeah.
Like Paul was bringing around, he was going to all these places, right? Preaching to the Gentiles, the gospel of Yeshua.
Yeah.
And yet converted rabbi or converted Pharisees were coming right behind him and saying, well, you're not really in yet unless you get circumcised. Right. Well, now we have a problem, right? That's not a good understanding of what sanctification is.
Right.
Sanctification is simply living out this righteousness that's been given to us, that right standing.
Yes.
And as we've talked about before, the word righteousness, like it's about a moral standing. It's about a type of walk that we're to have, right?
Yeah.
It's not by sacrifices, obviously, and it's not by circumcision, obviously. You're made righteous in Christ, and then that righteousness is lived out by obedience to his commandments.
Right, yeah. There's what's that verse in Philippians where Paul said, work out your own salvation
with
fear and trembling. So the salvation is like we become justified, declared righteous by the judge, declared not guilty, right, through faith in Yeshua, and then begins the process of now that you have been declared not guilty, this is the way you are to live, right? This is how this salvation I have given to you is worked out in your life.
Yes.
You know, that's the idea that Paul is getting at. It's that not you're not working for your salvation. And I think that's what goes into where the people who want to reject the Torah, they kind of like confuse this idea that, well, yes, you're not justified by Torah, so throw it out, right? But it's like, yes, you're not, you're forgiven by looking upon Yeshua with faith.
That's right.
Right? But then it's like, now what do we do?
Yeah.
You know, like,
we're not trying to cause confusion, right? Because I think sometimes you can go, man, this can get really confusing. And it can be, right? When you get into the weeds of what we're talking about. But the bottom line is that we have commandments that were called. We don't get to come to the cross, look at Messiah and behold him, receive him as our Lord and say, okay, you're Lord, but I'm not going to do what you say.
Right.
I'm not going to do what you. Now, some people say, well, there's a new Torah. There's the New Testament Torah now. We got to do. Yeah, I've heard that argument.
Yeah,
like,
I've heard that
too. But that's not what Yeshua taught.
Yeah.
He taught the Torah.
Right.
Right. Yeah. He taught the Torah.
Yeah.
It's just, I think there's so many people that are out there, they're trying to create their own sanctification, right?
Right.
Like, I'm like, okay, go to church, right? Tithe, you know, do these four things, do these five things, and then that's what sanctification is.
Yeah.
And I think that's causing confusion within the body of Christ. I think what needs to happen is that we learn to understand what sanctification is. And really, simply put, probably the basic is simply walking out obedience.
Right. Yeah. I mean, just an example, like, so when you begin the process of, okay, you're saved, you're forgiven, you're made righteous, you're declared righteous by Yahweh. So what being sanctified looks like is, now, after you have been declared righteous, you come across a situation where you get to lie and make some money. You get to lie on your business and possibly like cheat to make some money.
Right.
Well, now that you've been made righteous and you're beginning this process of living like Yeshua, obviously now you're going to be like, I can do this to make more money, but what does the Word of God say?
That's right.
Right?
Right.
And then you choose what the Word of God
says,
put it into practice.
Yeah.
And that, like, it continues this process of sanctification, like being made righteous.
Yeah.
Like, continuing
and I love that because it's almost like that's kind of what they were talking about in the book of Acts, right? In Acts, what is it?
15?
Acts 15.
Yeah.
Because in Acts 15, they were talking about them. They're like, all these men were coming in. And of course, the debate then in Acts 15, it's the same debate now, is that should you be circumcised? Should you not be circumcised? Do you make sacrifice? Do you not? And one of the things that I find interesting is they said, listen, like, we shouldn't burden them with all of this other stuff, right?
Yeah.
But let them do these three things, three or four things, and really because they were coming out of paganism,
right?
They kind of lined those things up.
Yeah.
But one of the things that that many people, a lot of readers miss is the next verse, right?
Yeah.
And that is, for the law of Moses is taught in the synagogues every Sabbath,
right?
Meaning that they were going to learn it. It's going to come. Yeah.
It's a process
that they're going to learn. Even Paul said that. What does he say in your very Philippian passage? He said, not that I have already obtained this or been perfected.
Right.
He says, but I press on if only I might take hold of that for which Messiah Yeshua took hold of me.
That's
brothers
right.
and sisters, I do not consider myself as having taken hold of this, but this one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, the sinful nature, straining towards what is ahead, the new nature,
right?
I press on toward the goal for the reward of the upward calling of Yahweh in Messiah Yeshua.
Yeah.
We keep going. Yes. It's a walk. It's a process. It doesn't happen overnight. And even Paul himself, I mean, this is Paul.
Right.
And he's saying, I haven't obtained it myself. Yeah,
I haven't yet arrived.
Holy cow.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and it's, we have to use wisdom. Like, you know, someone who's been walking in Torah and been with Messiah for years and years, you know, when someone first comes in to the faith, you know, they see Yeshua, and they believe on him.
Come
they come into the faith, they come into the body, and then, bam, here's the whole Torah, do it. And it's like, whoa, you know, sanctification is a process. It's an idea of like, well, that's why we need discernment. We need the Holy Spirit, because that person, they might need to be like, they might have an addiction problem.
Yeah.
And so they need to get that thing right first.
Yeah.
Right. That's the most pressing issue.
That's the thing that, you know, you're worried about them coming to church every Sunday or Sabbath, right?
Yeah.
And yet they're dealing with whether or not they're not going to take a hit of cocaine.
Yeah.
Or they're going to hit a meth, right?
Yeah,
or they're going to be doing, right?
You want to convince them like, hey, don't eat pork.
Yeah.
But it's like, man, no, don't eat those drugs.
Yeah.
Like that's the, we need to focus on that right now.
If we could get a hold of that, right? What a great truth. What a great understanding that, you know, that, I think sometimes we make things difficult.
Yeah.
And I think we make it difficult because those who make it difficult, like, think that they're somehow they're a little bit more righteous. They got a little bit more in them than everybody else. And we should simplify this thing.
Yeah.
And Yeshua made it so simple. He did. He made it so easy. It confounded the wise.
Yeah.
Right. He's like, there's no way. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so we make this so confusing. You are so right. Like, we're not like going into, you know, the house of Zeus and worshiping Zeus anymore, right?
Right.
We're not doing that. But man, what are they doing? Man, they have a drinking problem. They have a smoking problem. They have an anger problem. They have these other issues. We need to address those things.
Right.
Then we can start bringing them in to understand the rest of Torah.
Right.
Right. And the biggest one, really, guys, and this is what it really comes down, we're going to wrap it up with this. The biggest thing to understand about sanctification is love. Everything that we talk about and everything that when it comes to salvation and the life that we're called to live hinges on love.
That's right.
Right.
That's
so if we love Messiah, we're going to walk out obedience. We're going to trust him with our life. We're going to give our life to him and say, look, I'm not the boss anymore.
Right.
I'm not in charge. I made the decision. Then look at where it ended, where I ended up. Right, trying to do my own thing.
Right.
Salvation is about surrendering our life to Yeshua and loving him. The Bible says we love him with all our heart, soul, and strength. Well, that means we walk out obedience to him.
Right.
And sometimes, man, when you're first into this thing, it takes a minute. Be patient. Be patient with yourself.
Right.
Let the Lord do the work in you.
Yeah.
And listen, if you're a mature believer out there and you love Messiah, man, be patient.
Yeah.
With these younger ones that are coming into the faith.
Right. Yeah. Romans 14, like, hey, take it easy, you know?
Yeah.
Like, take it easy. Man, don't put too much on someone when they're just coming in.
Come on, man.
And they're like tore up from the floor up, man.
Yeah.
They've just been living such a wicked life.
Yeah.
Don't worry about whether or not they still eat pork.
Yeah.
That'll come later.
Yeah.
Man, worry about the things that are really destroying their soul.
It is so interesting that you say this, and I know we need to wrap it up. Praise God. I just think we're hitting on such a good pace right here, is because man, we we overthink it sometimes, right? And we try to make this thing so difficult, and yet we forget the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
We forget letting Yahweh do the work in the life of the believer. Our job is to love them. It doesn't mean that we give people permission to sin. Please right. don't misunderstand us.
Right.
Salvation comes from Yeshua and is by him and him alone. He already paid the penalty for the sin, which mm-hmm. is death.
Yes.
And then now our job is to learn how to be sanctified, how to walk this life out in love and yeah. stop bringing condemnation onto everybody. Man, right. can you imagine if we would just become a community that just loved people, man?
Yeah.
And even we do the same thing with people coming out of Sunday church into the Shabbat, or coming into Sabbath mm-hmm. and learning about Sabbath and learning about the Torah, is that for some, though they're Christian, and I do believe that I said this last week, that I believe there's a lot of good followers of Messiah yeah. in the Bible, or yeah. I mean, in the Bible, duh, in Sunday church.
Yeah.
And I believe there's a lot of non-believers in the Torah movement.
Sure.
There's a lot, yeah. you know, so it kind of goes yeah. either way is my point. But listen, our job is to love people, love Yahweh, love people. And that includes, man, not trying to bring them up into what our expect. Let the Holy Spirit do his job.
That's right, yeah.
You're not the Holy Spirit. I'm not the Holy Spirit,
yeah.
right? We are to walk beside them. You know, we talked about this a few weeks ago at the church. I said, man, the three people, right? You got to have need a Paul, you need a Timothy, you need a Barnabas. Mm-hmm. We need men and women around us, right, that love Jesus, love Yeshua, living out their life, trying to sanctify. They're being sanctified slowly but surely. They're living out these lives.
Yeah.
And man, just show some grace, man.
Sure.
Show some grace, yeah. right? Amen.
Yes, sir.
So salvation isn't by anything I can do. It's not about doing a sinner's prayer. Mm-hmm. It's about trusting in Yeshua,
right.
giving your life to him.
Yeah.
And then walking out obedience.
Yeah. And then him. The fruit of that truly happened. You will see fruit, like John the Baptist.
You will.
Bring forth fruit
yeah.
that's worthy of the repentance that you say you have, right?
Mm, amen. So. Amen. Well, praise God. Thank you, guys. Hopefully, you've made it all the way here. We're going to wrap it up with that. I think this has been a really good message. And probably, you know, hopefully we haven't confused you too much.
We'll clear it up next week.
Yeah. But yeah, man, let me say this. If you haven't given your life to Yeshua, you haven't turned your control over to him, if you're still walking in sin, you know, there's a Hebrew word, it's called teshuvah. And teshuvah simply means to repent. It's true repentance. Yeah, it means that you're turning away from the lifestyle. That's what Paul just read in Philippians, right? That he forsook the things behind and he looked before the things in front of him. And that's what teshuvah is. It's repentance. And I'm calling all of you who watch this, or maybe you just stumbled upon this station or this podcast by accident and you made it all the way through the end. If you have not teshuvah, if you've not turned away from your sin, turn toward Christ. Yeshua died on the cross, and if you look upon him, behold him, that he took upon your death sentence so that you don't have to. You will not have to be eternally separated from the Father, the Creator, who made you, who knows everything about you, who loves you so much that he became like you. Literally, he became like man and came to this earth and died for our sin because we just couldn't do it. We couldn't live the life, and then he shows us how to live it, and it's done through love. It's done through love, that we love Yahweh with everything and we love our neighbor as we love ourselves. And if you haven't done that today, I pray that you will. I pray that you'll repent of your sin. Turn away from you and turn towards Jesus. Amen. Let him be the Lord and Savior of your life. He is your deliverer. He is our righteousness. Amen. Amen. All right. I love you guys. God bless you again. If you haven't done so, subscribe to this page, man. And until next time. This has been a Sunday to Sabbath, another episode. It's been great. It's been fun.
It has.
It's been fun.
It has.
We're out of here. We'll see you next week.
See y'all later. See you next time.